Well, there's so many emotions right now. Sam said a few years ago, we didn't know if Darlene was going to live or die. And we just trust the Lord. You as a church, you prayed so faithfully. Churches all over were praying. And I believe with all my heart that God healed Darlene. And I am so thankful for that. You know, I was thinking early this morning, I wish Darlene's dad and mom and my dad and mom could be a part of this with us. They invested in our lives, and we love them dearly. So before I keep talking and get emotional, let's go to the Word of God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I pray today, Lord, that you would release the power of your word and you would use it in our lives to help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you that your word is like a hammer. It's like fire. It penetrates. It changes. It transforms us. And I pray that that's exactly what will happen today for your glory. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, today I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. You know, life is like a roller coaster. There are a lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists and turns. For a season of life, when it's great, your health is good, your career is taking off, your marriage is enjoyable, and your kids are progressing. Boy, that's good during those times, right? It's easy. It's easy to trust God during those times. Or is it? Because a lot of times when times are good, we get a little lazy, spiritually lazy, and we begin to think, well, God, I've got this or I've got that. I don't really need you for this one, Lord. I'll save you for the big ones. I'm afraid that's what we do many times. But without warning, life plummets us into an abyss of adversity. Your doctor informs you that you've got cancer. Your boss gives you a pink slip. Your marriage becomes boring. Your kids are not progressing. They are struggling at school. You know you're supposed to trust God during those times. But even though sometimes we deviate from trusting God when life is easier, it is easier to trust God when things are good, right? But when things are really difficult, sometimes it's hard to trust him because we don't understand what's going on. Has anything ever happened in your life and you didn't understand what God was doing during those moments? I'm sure we could all say amen to that. But I want to give you a lesson today that will literally change your life. It's a lesson that I want you to take home. It's a lesson that I want you to teach your kids, your grandkids. Here it is. Trust God at all times. Trust him at all times. We got to learn to trust God when life makes sense and when it doesn't. We've got to learn to trust God when it's easy and when it's hard. We got to learn to trust God when we're on a mountaintop. And we got to learn to trust God when we're in a deep, dark valley. The Bible highlights this challenge of trusting God throughout. But I just want to give you a couple of scriptures that emphasize the importance of trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He'll make your path straight. Isaiah 26, 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. At least 50 times in the book of Psalms, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to emphasize the importance of trusting God. Now, this is the final sermon in our Psalm series. And I couldn't think of a better way to bring this series to a climax than taking one of the repeated emphases and bringing it to light. I think it's so important for every person in this room to learn the value of trusting God at all times. That's certainly the crux of Psalm 62. So I hope you found Psalm 62 in your Bible. Now, when David penned these words, he was being hunted down by his own son. His son had betrayed him and had launched a coup against him. I want you to listen to David's description of the danger he faced. You know, there are a lot of animals and fish that are on the endangered species list. David must have felt like he was on the endangered species list. Psalm 62, verse 3 and 4, listen to David's own description of his trials and tribulations and adversity. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. And that Selah is a Hebrew term that means don't keep going. Stop. Think about what just has been said. Let it soak into the pores of your skin, the pores of your soul. Absalom had stolen the hearts of the men of Israel. Many of them had joined him in an insurrection. Some of those who were close to the king were saying flattering things to his face, but behind his back, they were saying things that indicated that they were with Absalom and not David. In their minds, David was like a tottering fence and a leaning wall. In their minds, one little push and David would be done for. I'm going to be honest with you, they didn't know what they were getting into because they were going after God's anointed. Where would David go? What would he do? Who would he turn to? James Montgomery Boyce stressed the essence of this great psalm when he stated, and I quote, "The most important thing about Psalm 62 is that the psalmist is making God his only object of trust. He's not trusting something other than God. Nor is he trusting God and something or someone else. His trust is in God only. And that is why he is so confident in this psalm. And we're going to see that in just a moment. You're going to see the confidence of David rise to the surface. And it is a powerful thing to witness, especially in light of his circumstances. In Psalm 62, we learn how we can trust God at all times. There are three keys to doing that. You say, Pastor, how do you expect me to trust God when life has thrown a curveball, when I'm on that roller coaster, Pastor, and it takes a sudden nosedive or it takes a violent twist or turn? How do you expect me to trust God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because in this psalm, there are three powerful keys to trusting God at all times, in the good times and the bad times. I want you to look at the first two verses with me. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. I want you to really focus on the pronoun my, my. David wrote, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold, I shall not be greatly shaken." You know, do you see the confidence David had in God? He said, "I'm not going to be greatly shaken by this. The odds appear to be stacked against me. But I trust God. I trust God." So five times in the first two verses, David employs that pronoun, that possessive pronoun, my. And then when you go to verses 5-7, let's just read 5-7 real quickly. Notice the pronoun my. "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken." It's interesting. Earlier in verses 1 and 2, he said, "I shall not be greatly shaken." But I want you to notice how in verse 6, he said, "I shall not be shaken," period. I like that. "O God, my salvation and my glory, rest. The God of my strength, my refuge, is in God." Now, that use of the word my swelled from 5 times to 14 times when you consider the verses I just read. You say, "Pastor Chuck, why are you making a big deal out of that?" Because it indicates the first key to trusting God at all times. Here it is. Draw near to God. The use of my indicates that David had a powerful, intimate, personal relationship with the living God. God was not a stranger to him. He had seen God be with him when he attacked a bear who was going after a sheep. He had seen God intervene when he walked into the Valley of Elah and squared off against the Philistine champion, Goliath. He had seen God work in amazing ways. And this was going to be no different. Why? Because David had a strong relationship with his Lord. Now keep in mind, this was a hard time for David. He had gone from living in the palace to living in a cave. the hurt of his son's betrayal was like an open wound in his heart. His kingly privileges had been taken away. But he trusted God because he had a close relationship with him. He said, God, you are my salvation. You are my rock. You are my stronghold. No wonder his soul could wait in silence for God to intervene. You know, sometimes I think we get the idea that when we're in the middle of a battle, when we're in the middle and the missiles are flying, the bullets are coming close to us all around our head and our bodies, we think we've got to take action. We think we've got to do something right then. Sometimes we just need to be still and know that he is God. And that's what David's talking about here. Let me ask you, do you have a close relationship with the Lord? Is there any other relationship in your life that is more important to you than your relationship with the Lord? You say, Pastor, that's a silly question. I'm supposed to be closer to my wife. I'm supposed to be closer to my kids than the Lord. No, you're not. Do you realize that if you really want to have the kind of relationship with your wife and your kids that the Bible describes, you got to put God first. He's got to be first. You got to spend time with him. Reading your Bible, praying, let his truth just soak into your heart and soul. Listen, you will never trust God if you don't draw near to him. It's impossible. In James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, he wrote, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Don't you love that? If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But he expects you to make the first move. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will make sure that you are not shaken. So don't wait till the roller coaster of life takes a plunge, a nosedive, or it goes into a head-jerking turn. Draw near to the Lord now while you're in the good time so you'll be ready for the bad times. Excuse me. I'm sorry about my voice, folks. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I've got a cough drop in my mouth. I've drank hot tea, lemon, and honey. I've drank water. I'm so hydrated. I may have to excuse myself in a moment. I don't know. But you just bear with my voice. And listen to the truth. Trust God at all times. Okay, here's the first key. Draw near to God. Here's the second key. Choose to trust God. Choose to trust God. I must warn you. Satan uses high-pressure tactics to undermine your trust in the Lord. He will make you feel unworthy of God's attention and God's help by reminding you of your greatest failures and by loading you down with condemnation and guilt. That's the way he works. His ultimate goal is to get you to question God's ability to help you. He will place before you people programs, riches, money as inferior substitutes to lure you away from trusting God alone. Or he might use those things as an addition to trusting God. Satan may say to you, well, trust God, but also trust this expert over here. You know, you can go to the internet and you find the expert in everything, right? And Satan will say, well, trust God, but make sure you understand what this expert has laid on the table about this matter. David alluded to this when he included these verses in his Psalms. Verses 9 and 10, he said, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up. They're together lighter than a breath. He said, he's saying, these experts that offer to help you and offer this plan and this program, he said, they're like a puff of air. They're gone 1 minute, they're here 1 moment, and gone the next. Then he says, verse 10, do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. How many people do you know that are living their lives, and in the good times and the bad times, they have put all of the weight of their trust in money or things? And David said, don't do that, because it's a zero-sum game. To pretend to trust God, but not to trust him only, is like having 1 foot on a boat that is not secured to the dock, and the other foot on the dock. Now, what's going to happen? If you try to get out of a boat that is unsecured, not tied off, I promise you, you're going to do the splits, and you're going to end up in the water. But that's what it's like to pretend that you're trusting God alone while at the same time trusting someone or something else. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. It's very important. You must choose, underline the word choose, you must choose to trust God confidently, constantly, and completely. It's a kind of decision that's not based upon how you feel. Well, Pastor, all this stuff is happening. I don't understand why my loved one died. I don't understand why we're having these financial problems. I don't understand what happened to our marriage. I don't understand why my kids have gone haywire. I don't understand what God's doing. That's where you got to choose to trust God. And that choosing to trust God is a decision that flows not out of your feelings, but out of your will. You have to choose to trust God alone. Look at verses 5-8. David says, my soul, wait in silence for God only. Be still and know that I'm God. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation, my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. So now, David's talking to the men who are part of his entourage. His army has shrunk precipitously. And he's speaking to those men, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Stop. about that. Do you see what David did? He talked to himself rather than listen to himself. Do you know that the enemy can so work in your mind and heart that you will say to yourself things that are not true? He can make you say stuff like this. Well, I'm a nothing. Why would God even be concerned about me? And David didn't fall into that trap. David talked to himself instead of listening to himself. And you know what he did? As he talked to himself, his words were filled with faith-building truths about God. Just read this psalm. God is my rock. God is my salvation. And on he goes. He's speaking faith-filled words into his life. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're going through a difficult time, and it's hard to trust God, and you don't understand why God is allowing what's happening in your life, you speak to yourself faith-filled words. You eliminate those negative words that are birthed out of the bowels of hell. Don't go there. Now notice how David repeatedly used the word only. So we looked at the word my, but there's another word he used several times, the word only. He used it twice in the first two verses and two more times in verses 5 and 6. Look at it. In verses 1 and 2, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Now look at verses 5 and 6. My soul wait in silence for God only. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Now this word, this little word only, represents David's absolute commitment to trust in God alone. Not to trust in his bows and arrows, not to trust in his sword, not to trust in the men who were so committed to him, but to trust in God alone. Only. God alone, only. It's been said that you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you have. I promise you, folks, there'll be times in your life when that roller coaster takes a dive or it makes a violent turn. And you won't understand everything God's doing. But at that moment, you have to trust God. You got to trust him. So what do? You pray in faith. You dig into the Word of God. You find scripture that relates to your circumstances. And you speak truth into your life. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Trust God at all times. Okay, the first key to developing this kind of trust is draw near to God. The second key is choose to trust God with your will, out of your will, not how you feel. Can I tell you, your feelings are the shallowest part of your being. If it's sunny, you might feel pretty good. If it's cloudy and rainy, you might feel pretty down. Don't base your actions or your attitudes on how you feel. Base it upon your will, what comes out of your will, what you choose to do. Now here's the third key. Third key. Claim the promises of God. Claim the promises of God. Let me ask you a question. How can we ever trust God if we don't take Him seriously? How can we trust God if we don't take His word seriously? Can I tell you, David trusted God. David took God seriously and he took God's word seriously. Look at verses 11 and 12. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. You say, why did David say that? Because he's emphasizing that if God ever says something, we better stand up and pay attention. He should only have to say something one time. But if he repeats it, you better believe it's super important to us. Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. And loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. David had learned two valuable lessons about God. And he claimed two promises from the Word of God. First promise, God is powerful. He's powerful. Now that truth underscores the sovereignty of God and permeates the Bible from beginning to end. If we're going to trust God in both the bad times and the good times, we have to embrace the truth of His promises, and they are embedded in the Word of God. You're not going to find them anywhere else. Look, you may be going through a difficult time, a hard time. And that roller coaster of life has really made you dizzy with all that's going on. And you don't understand. Now listen to me very carefully. Nothing you will ever face can match the power of God. He is all powerful. I look across here and I see people that have gone through difficult times. I see people that are going through difficult times right now. And that roller coaster is going to work in you. Listen to me very carefully. God has the supernatural power to give you victory. But you got to believe that to the core of your being. A promise of God is no good unless we claim it and we embrace it. And we build our lives on it. There's a second promise about God that David embraced. Not only is God powerful, but God is loving. Look at verse 12. 11 says that power belongs to God. Verse 12, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord. Where did he get that? Well, it's all through the Old Testament. Loving kindness is yours, O Lord. That's a Hebrew word that speaks of a committed kind of love, sort of like the New Testament word agape. He learned that God is loving. Paul emphasized this truth for us in the New Testament. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, I love this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? I mean, that sums up about everything that could ever happen, right? And Paul said, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God had power but lacked love, he might be able to save us, but he would have no desire to do so. If God was loving but lacked power, he might desire to save us, but he would not be able to do it. But I tell you, my friend, based upon the authority of the Word of God, God is all powerful and God is loving. And we've got to take seriously his promises. Here's a promise I want to drop in your heart. And we know, Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things. Say all things. All things. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, I believe that this is one of the greatest psalms in the entire book, because it is so incredibly relevant to all of our lives. Because we're going to be on this roller coaster of life until we go to heaven, or until we step into eternity. And there are going to be ups and downs, there are going to be twists and turns, there are going to be things you do not understand. That's why trusting God is so important. Now, I want to end our time by asking two questions. Here's question number one. Can you trust God? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You can't trust God if you have not put your faith and your trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus. That is the first step to trusting God. You can't trust him for a health crisis, or for a relationship crisis, or for a crisis with your kids, if you have not repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus. That's the first step you got to take. So I ask you today, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? You may say, well, Pastor, I haven't done that. Well, in just a minute, I'm going to ask the staff to come. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And we're going to have a chance, have a time of worship where you can respond to what God has said to your heart today. Do you realize that this day, August the 3rd, night of 998, we got married in 1975. August the 3rd, 2025, can be the day when you believe in Jesus. He forgives your sins. He gives you the gift of eternal life. And you can have all of these wonderful promises at your fingertips as you continue to ride the roller coaster of life. But there's a second question. Can you trust God? Second question. This is for every believer. You've already received Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. And here's a question for you. Will you trust God? Will you trust God alone when life is hard or when life is easy? Will you trust him when things get crazy in your life? David has shown us just how to do that. Three keys. I want you to repeat them after me, okay? Number one, draw near to God. Number two, choose to trust God. Number three, claim the promises of God. Hey, you can trust God at all times. I'm going to ask our staff to come, our worship team to come. And you look, as a believer, you can come to this altar and you can take these three keys and pray about them right here at this altar. Just pray them into your heart. Or if you need to give your heart to Jesus and be saved, come to one of our staff members and tell them that you want to be saved. If you're looking for a church home, you can come to a staff member and tell them you want to be a part of this church. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to trust you at all times. Lord, thank you so much that you inspired David to pen the words of Psalm 62. I pray that we will never forget the lesson that we've learned today, and that is to trust God at all times. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship, and you come as God leads you.